Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning. You're still chewing, Neil.
Chewing on thoughts.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to our show again. We're so glad that you're here, and today we're going to be discussing how powerful a personal guide is to each one of us. Actually, we each of us have one personal guide only. I mean, in rare cases, Neil... In rare cases, people have more than one personal guide, but those are individuals that are pretty elevated spiritually. So the average person, one guide, and we're going to be discussing how that guide can protect each of us from karma, demons, past life, darkness, things like that. But first, I want to let everybody know how to stay connected with us. You may do so by following us right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked right here under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And there's also there's two Facebook pages. The fan page is the linked one. The friend page you can find via the fan page. And Neil's direct line, 562-596-7818, for inquiries regarding readings. You will not reach Neil by email. You will reach me. So I advise those who are interested in further discussion with Neil to call him directly. Again, that number is 562-596-7818. And callers, we have several in the queue. We're going to be getting to each one of you today, but we do take calls in the order received. So if you're not the first one called, just please know that we will be getting to you shortly. All right, Neil.
Well, you mentioned, yes, we have one specific guide for the most part. All of us human beings have one specific guide. But that doesn't mean that there are assorted guides that move in and out of our lives for different purposes.
Right.
So I don't want to...
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But we each are assigned one specific guide, like you said, throughout the life. And
yeah, because, you know...
Throughout all our incarnations, actually.
Yeah, just as we have parents, we have a guide. The guide is not of our body, but of our soul. I mean, I guess you could say there are human beings that guide our souls. Psychics, ministers, priests, counselors, they guide our souls to some extent. But when we're dealing really with, when we talk about a spirit guide, we're really talking about an entity that remains in a disincarnate state. They haven't incarnated as a human being. They're done. They're either done.
So they've incarnated in the past, but now are done and are helping people.
Yeah, I mean...
Probably what you'll be doing when you cross over.
Well... I can't direct it. That will be from a higher director. But
we'll still be working on the other side. I'm assuming we will still be working
from the clouds.
Oh boy!
If you want to put it that way, but you know, not in all cases, but in general cases, spirit guides are persons who have lived many former lifetimes, have paid their karmic debts, and they advance beyond a need to reincarnate. It's as simple as that. That's
okay.
As simple as that. Do we choose our spirit guides and do our spirit guides remain the same throughout all of our incarnations? Generally,
We do have one spirit guide. They don't switch off, and they are our eternal spirit guide, and they stay with us throughout all of our lifetimes. How the choosing is done is a matter of debate. Do we choose them? Do they choose us? Is there a compromise? Is there an agreement? Do we go into a great conference about it? Yes, I believe we go into a great conference. I don't think that as souls, you know, we are created as souls, and then they go, oh, you're assigned to spirit number one. There is some general energy. Now, the energy of who really chooses who, first of all, is placed in the hands of the spirit guide. The spirit guide has earned the right to assign their energy to a human being. So they've come to that place. And then there's higher jurisdictions that govern the entire process. Do we as human beings have any say in who we choose? To some degree, according to what I've experienced and I've been told, there is some kind of dialogue that is created, and if there's a conflict, there's a conflict. But in most general areas, when you get into the soul realm and the spirit realm, they don't make mistakes. They don't go, okay, you're assigned spirit A to this human being, and then like something goes wrong and the governing spirits say, oh, we must have made a mistake. It doesn't operate that way. There's a divine intervention that goes on. And so generally speaking, you don't say, you know, my spirit guide isn't working for me. It doesn't happen that way. So there's a certain divinity. There's a certain, not divinity, but there's a certain sacredness and perfection in how guides are chosen to their particular human beings that they're working with. And not all guides are going to be incarnate, disincarnated human beings.
But today we're talking about how those guides can protect from dark karma. So I kind of want to get in that direction before we get to our caller's meal.
We will. Because when we're also talking about guides, we're also talking about that we look at them as they can be saints and they could have been human beings. They could be totems. They could be angels. They could be guardian angels. They could be nature spirits. There's different ways of looking of what and who our guides are. Now, can a guide be what was your question?
What was my question?
I mean, you were saying you want to direct
the subject matter for the day, which is the protection that these guides can exercise in our lives, because many of us can fall back into past lives and are immersed in those karmic issues and have a difficult time extracting themselves from those karmic issues. That's why, you know, people struggle throughout life.
The highest intervention and interaction that we have with our guides is on the soul plane before we come down. That's the highest, that's the training period. They're like personal trainers at that point. And that's when we have our intensity. When we go in and take our test, that means we go in and go back into the body. When we're back into the body, we lose that interaction, that immediate interaction. We're fighting in the ring now, and our personal trainers are on the side, but they can't get in the ring with us, so to speak. So there's very little that can be done. Boxing is a very good metaphor because, you know, you have your rounds, and then you go back to your trainer, and you discuss things. That's like falling asleep and going to the dream world, the soul world, and having conferences with your personal guide, and then coming back into the body or back into the ring and fighting it out in life, fighting out your issues in life. In that respect, we can be very susceptible to dark energies. And can our spirit guide protect us? Not necessarily. Just like a personal trainer or a boxing manager or something can't protect the boxer from getting bloody. He can kind of mend his wounds a little bit, and doctor him up, but can't protect him in the ring. So no. They really don't
intervene in They don't intervene.
Not the way we think. And people, most people are mistaken. That, oh, my spirit guide will protect me. No, they what? What happened to all those people on the plane, on German wings, and all their crying and despair and everything, and all their demands as that plane was going down and that horrifying recording was giving that moment before death? Where were their spirit guides? Where was their protection? The world, it's a real world. And to really fully understand our spirit guides, we have to accept the fact that they don't necessarily protect us.
Right. So what role do those guides have, Neil, in our lives? I mean, are they influencing our thoughts, our actions?
First of all, they love us, and they want to guide and protect us and get us to an area where we are no longer incarnating. So part of that process is having faith and learning how to live in the spirit of life, a physical life. And that's where they basically guide us. They don't always, if we're in a dilemma and we fall into darkness, the spirit guide hopes that the human being lends itself to spiritual principles to get through any darkness and to persevere through anything that may be harrowing or signaling death or a threat of some kind. And they can only sit back and hope that their training of spiritual energy will kick in at those moments. You know, so that they do, and they train us specifically in the spiritual realm with that. But can a demon actually come into our life or an ill-formed spirit energy come around into our lives and our spirit guides are helpless? Yes. Yep. Now, can the spirit guide and the dark entity have a conference? Yes. They can battle it out to some extent. But what occupies the human being is like Job. Satan was given permission to attack Job, and God did not intervene. And it was according to Job's faith and endurance and spirituality that got him through. But no one came to Job's aid. So can darker spirits and demons have a season upon which they prey upon us? Yes, indeed, to various degrees. And our spirit guides are just sitting back. God is sitting back. There's nothing but you and the evil or the darkness to fight it out. Now, on a spiritual level, you can summon energy, but that comes from the heartbeat of the human being. That comes from the heartbeat and the intensity of faith from the human being, which can lend some importance to it. But it's not always there. I'm sure people were praying their hearts out on that plane. So it's not always there. And we have to realize that death is an outcome. It's an outcome. It's going to happen to all of us. And we have to accept that. That's not our really dilemma. That's not really it. It's our performance. It's the energy of who we are as human beings that's most important. And we can't always rely on the fact that, well, my spirit guide will save me from this, or my spirit guide will help me. No. It's more of a consciousness level of who you are as a human being without the contingency that you always are going to have a way out because you prayed or you sought help from your spirit guide. Now, of course, you know, we don't want to rag too much on spirit guides because
it's fine.
Oh.
I don't care. Say what you want.
They serve a certain purpose. And they are of a certain intensity. And I don't want to be disrespectful to the spirit world just because I'm here expressing myself.
Uh-huh.
But I want there to be a full understanding that, yes, we are being, quote, guided by spirits. Guided, not controlled, not mandated to have such an interaction that everything is set in stone. So we're being guided. And the proof of our life is in our performance, what we do. And certainly we can, you know, the best of spirit guide, the best, whatever the spirit guide is that's assigned to us, they may have to step back if darkness comes around us. But my attitude is always keep praying and stay connected to them, and to try to keep, the thing about a spirit guide is you want to try to keep your soul connection to them, not just your body connection, but the original soul connection you have with your spirit guide. That means going into the realm of the soul and trying to understand what your dialogue was with your spirit guide before you entered the body. That, to me, is much more pertinent than trying to figure out in your body how to connect to a spirit. You got to get out of your body. You got to get into your soul and have that kind of absolute out-of-body experience so you can experience what the true dialogue is and what the arrangements are.
Okay, Neil. Well, I think we should pause here and get to our callers. We may have some more time. It's fairly light, actually, today. But we do have two callers, 754 and 954, who have not pressed 1 to speak with us. So if you'd like to speak with us, please do press 1. 754, are you in queue? Do you want to speak with us? They're not pressing 1, so I'm assuming no. Okay, so I'm going to take our first caller, which is actually 305. It's Deanna from Florida. Hi, Deanna.
Good morning. Hey, Kristen. I wanted to tell you something. I don't know if you're aware that Blog Talk Radio changed the recording, the initial recording, and it no longer tells you or tells the callers to press 1 if you wish to speak to the host.
Oh, okay, so I'll remember that, because now everybody has 1 pressed in the queue. That's good.
Right, people
know.
Who are used to it, but new callers might not know that, so I just wanted to let you know so you could call it in and, you know, see yourself.
Great.
I do. I spent all night without any sleep trying to compose this letter to learn to defend myself.
I hate
once and for all. Are you there?
Yeah,
we're here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I spent all night up trying to begin this huge letter that encompasses 15 years. And I was wondering if Neil thinks that I will be able to finish it today so as to present it tomorrow or even at the end of today's date.
Yeah, I do think, you know, I mean, I'm injecting my own thoughts into your head so it comes true, but I do feel you're going to be done with it today and comfortably by 4. What area are you in? What time is it right now in your area?
It's 1:20.
You're 3 hours ahead. So you're going to have it 1:20, so you're going to have it done by 4 o'clock.
Okay.
I think you'll have it done by 4 if you work hard. I was going to say 4 my time, but that's 7 your time. I think it's 4 your time because I heard the word 4. So I think, Deanna, you'll have it done by 4. And
the
I'll
thing
put,
is that... thank you. The thing is that... on the first, I'll be out. I'll be out if I don't file something, and giving them just tomorrow is very short. Do you think I will be able to engage the legal help I need?
Well, in my general assessment, on a psychic energetic level, I'm going to put out a energy field that hopefully is going to assist you in that. It isn't like I automatically hear, yeah, you're going to be okay. So here, this is where the intervention of energy and faith and prayer and all that kind of thing comes in. So I'm going to put that out. Now, in putting that out, I'm praying that works. But I'm optimistic. I'm more optimistic that you'll get everything set in time, especially if you I don't know how you're sending it out and how long the time frame is,
email.
But I would certainly
email. Yeah.
Oh, email. Okay, so it goes in immediately. That's the advantage to email. So
yeah.
I would say I would say that you, you email it today. Try to have it out by 4 o'clock your time so it can get set in. And then you might want to, if it's possible, you might want to get on the phone and talk to a live person, because that it's old-fashioned.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. No, I definitely do that and even go there. Do you think the spirit guide in this instance would be helpful?
Well,
I've never summoned him or her.
You know, in this instance, I think we're more in the category that the energy of prayer and faith blends into the agenda of spirit guide intervention. But I don't and so, yes, there could be a little tweaking there and a little assistance, but I want to count more on the fact that that with that in mind, that we can't just totally rely on that. We've got to really produce an energy field, because this is obviously something karmically that you've been facing. It's part of why you're on the planet, and it's just not up to the spirit guide to, you know, do it for you. It's
destiny, right?
Something deeper going on. So that brings us to a face-to-face level of you and I at this moment interacting and using on a human dimension this ability to get the energy going. So it's the human element working through into the spiritual element. And I feel confident that my, you know, it's funny because I've done this with many people in the past week, helping them get things that they need under the most strenuous circumstances. And we've had very good success. So
thank you so much.
But I think here is, let's put it out. And I would back it up with some real physical evidence, meaning the email and the phone call, and just appeal to them and say, I sent the email, I'm hoping you'll respect that, and I'm also following it up with the, you know, the human voice to the human voice, and getting that compassionate person to do whatever they can do is going to be very persuasive, more or less a spirit guide.
I'll ask spirit guide for inspiration then instead. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, Deanna, thank you. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further discussion with Neil. All right. 754 is next, then 954, and then 718. So I'm calling out the order today, which I don't always do, but it's enough. Okay. 754, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Tara.
T-A-R-A?
Yes.
Okay, hi, Tara. And where are you calling from, please?
Florida.
Florida. And what's your birthday?
February 3rd, 1995.
Okay. You're 20 years old.
Yes.
Okay, what's your question, Tara?
I don't have a question. I was told by somebody who's called you guys before to call.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. You want something kind of general then?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Tara, you're a complex, you know, I deal a little bit with numerology, but that's not what I'm just about. I'm about everything, spirits and conversations and all kinds of aspects of this world. But one identifying factor of moving into a reading is to understand the code of a birth date, and your code brings you to the master number of 2 by way of a number that's reduced. In numerology, you're actually a 29 equals 11 equals 2. Now, 2s, especially composed of a 29, what sometimes happens, Tara, is that they oftentimes experience on the earth plane difficulties in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that that's where life begins and ends and just having difficulties, but what it does mean alongside of the general impression that everybody has relationship problems, more or less, but a 29-11-2 will, they come in with a little bit more intensity in that area, and oftentimes in their upbringing, mm-hmm. to where there's a difficult adjustment in their upbringing with a parent or a divorce, or some kind of darkness that's involved in the family, whether it be alcohol or drugs or adultery. There's always something edging around, in generally speaking, around a human being that has that code.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that apply to you?
Yes.
Okay, so now that we've come that far, what I'd like to express to you on the radio today is that that's not where your story ends by any means. Now, when we go to your code, you have a 3 in your code, you have a 9 in your code, you have a 5, well above your master number of 2. 9s are strength. They're very, very strong energies. And 5s are very expressive energies. And you, mm-hmm. typically, as I'm reading you currently, you sound like a very soft person. I mean, it may be just your persona or your energy on the radio, but you feel like a kind of a soft person that could be vulnerable to hurt, like you get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So
I do.
Yeah. But you see, I'm reading your voice and your manner, which is not altogether psychic. It's in your energy. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up on, but everything that I pick up on, Tara, is fed with psychic insight as well. So that zone's going on. You have there's a certain fire in your energy because you can be very passionate. If when you find your passion or your goal, you become very passionate and you become very dedicated and devoted to something. And I think you're a human being that cares more about the world than a lot of people just care about the center of their world, meaning just their life. I think with you, Tara, as it is with a lot of people, you care about the world, the concerns, animals, the innocence of things. I think you have a general concern, and I think your heart probably would like to gravitate towards some kind of professional attitude whereby what you do professionally is in alignment with helping. Is that true?
Yes.
So now that we're moving there and we're going along pretty smoothly, my read on you, because these readings are limited for the radio, you're a human being that I perceive is, yes,
she's a human being.
A human being, not an animal.
Well, we are animals.
Well, what's that
we?
Song about the animal? It was on the Out the Z Rooms.
Huh?
Out the Z Room radio show we did
you
about
mean,
the animal from
you mean
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Modern Major General. That was.
Oh,
animal.
Well, I thought something about animal. Anyways,
no.
It's
animal. Oh, yeah, they say animal, mineral, or whatever.
Yeah, animal,
uh-huh.
mineral. We're acting digressing, Tara, and
sorry.
We need you to take over the
no,
show
we're
to
okay.
get us back on track.
We're okay. Okay. Focus.
You. Tara, you're going to be in a relationship. Now, what I mean by that is you have a karma between now and the age of 29. You're deeply in a karmic element. Although at the age of 11, there might have been a change. Can anything significant happen around the age of 11, 12?
I mean, I've lost a lot of people in my life to death.
Uh-huh. Okay, so there was a lot of loss. I got it.
Yes.
Well, what's interesting, too, is you're born February 3rd, which amounts to a 5, which is in your year, in a solid form in your year. So there's an expression of energy in terms of even writing or the arts. So there's something that's intriguing me in that respect. I don't know how it's manifesting in your life, but you do have a literary or expression energy going on that is somehow should be surfacing. I think at the age of 22, you're 20 now, you just turned 20, but I'm getting a weird sense that at the age of 22, just but 2 years away, there's an important relationship. So if there's any compensation for your life at the moment, at the age of 22, there, if you haven't already been in one, that's the age mm-hmm. when the relationship finally comes in. Even if you have to wait, that's when it will come in, if you don't get it before. So are okay. you interested? Are you interested? Are you intrigued by relationship predictions?
At this moment, I'm not. I actually just had a baby.
So are like, you married? Are you married?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not. And I'm not with the baby's father either, so.
Yeah, because you see, that's what I mean. The energy of a two, which is the sexual chakra, we'll have stories like that. And yours manifest as, okay, Neil, there's a little, you want to call that a little bit of a debatable energy about what can happen to a two. I had a baby mm-hmm. and the father and or husband is not around. So there you go. There's that 29-11-2. The blessing is in the child. The difficulty, whether you want to call it that, maybe it's a blessing, is that the father isn't around.
Yeah.
So now what we have to do, Tara, is determine that, you know, when that baby, you just had a baby, so 2 years from now, that baby will be two. And
yeah.
I think right around then, a man enters your life. Not that you're looking for that now, but that makes sense to me because, well, I'm talking about relationship, not a baby. So a relationship 2 years from now. I didn't feel you were in one now, even though you had a baby.
Yeah, and I'm not.
Yeah. So we got that going at around the age of 22. What's your professional job? What do you do to make a living?
Right now, I'm actually working on going to college. I actually want to be a psychologist.
That the psychologist is in the help is definitely in the helping manner. What
yeah.
I was ascribing to, and yes, you're perfect for that. So you can get through this time and raise this baby and go to the school and get your education. That's absolutely a agreeable human endeavor. You know, it takes a little work, but big deal. You're going to be perfect at it. That's what I read from you. And then I do read a relationship, and I do read a very rich involvement with the planet and helping.
Hey, that's a good start, Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of validations there. Well, we thank you for calling the show, and you're always welcome to call again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tara. And Tara can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. She can also join us on Facebook, and she can join us on Twitter as well. And reach Neil 562-596-7818. All righty. Anything
okay.
you want to say before we go to the next caller?
No, let's get to the next caller. I mean, like I said, you know, a 29-11-2, that controversy about what happens with a two, I mean, that's a perfect example. She's got this baby. There's no father. So that's, if you want to consider that the, quote, darkness of the situation, whether it's a blessing or not, it's the kind of
the difficulty in the blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the duality of the
and that's
of
karmic.
The situation. Yeah.
That actually is karmic for her. That was already written out, that was going to happen that way. And, she's a two, and then she's born in the month of February. So that agenda is very important. Three is fire, so there's going to be a little bit of controversy and fire therein.
Okay. Well, hopefully she's young and calling the show. So it's always good when people are trying to make improvements and figure out what's going on in their lives, you know, at a young age, I think.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting to address the problems before they get out of hand. 954. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Yvette.
Yvette. Hi, Yvette. Your birth date again, please?
9/21/65.
Okay, and your question?
I'd like to know what those spirit guide message, if my spirit guide has a message for me.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're talking about spirit guides, Yvette, and you asked a legitimate question, and messages do come from spirit guides. What happens is that what a spirit guide in getting a request like that has to manifest and materialize, so to speak, in a language from the other side that sometimes is literal and sometimes symbolic. What I'm getting with you is somewhat interesting from your spirit guide, as much as that spirit guide can afford me information. What I see is rather pictorial. It's got a symbolism, and
right.
What you're doing is you're kneeling by a riverbank. You're actually kneeling by a riverbank. Your persona feels very, very American Indian, but that's okay. It feels like there's like a baby on your back in that Indian fashion of carrying babies. And you're kneeling by a river, and you're actually taking like straw and wrapping it around something, like you're busy implementing a tool of some kind that you might need to either use by the river or cultivate, or I don't know, it's something. It doesn't seem like a weapon. It seems more like in farming, in not a predatorial thing or warfare. It seems more like agricultural, like you're a gatherer of energy. So there's something going on with that, which amounts to getting ready to produce something at a riverbank. Have you recently produced anything new in life? Is there anything around you that has a newness about it?
Well, no, I have not produced. I happen to be babysitting right now. There's a new baby next to me. Yes.
Oh, there's a baby next to you. That baby next to you is in alignment with the idea that I see you as holding a baby on your back.
Correct.
So holding a baby on your back is also a symbolism that it didn't come from your womb. You're holding a baby that is literally or symbolically coming from your back, meaning it's not your child. It's something you're carrying as a burden, if you want to call it that, but it's somebody else's responsibility that you've taken on. Temporary.
Right. Right.
Okay. So that zone is going on. But so that makes sense there. But it also means that you're producing something. Are you working on any kind of creative project?
I also do fostering. So I have lots of babies, we'll call them. And I don't mean they're not human babies, they're animals as well. So I do have that energy.
Oh, well, yes, because you're a lover of animals.
Right.
And so, because I didn't see, I saw you as gatherer, so the gatherer, well, typically the gatherer isn't a hunter, so he takes the animal, domesticates the animal, and the animal works alongside them. And so, typically, doesn't mean you have to be a vegetarian, in fact, even. But you're taking care of things. So that's what I'm getting about your energy. It's one of the roles you have in life. You have a strong, you have an 11-2. You're a 6 by master number, which is your third eye. But you have an 11 in your 9-2. As our other caller was a 29, 11-2. Well, you have
right.
a 29 in your day and month. And your 65 adds up to an 11. So that means that you have a particular karmic responsibility to children, to the attitude that what you're doing, and this is coming from your spirit guide, too, what you're doing is you're surmounting karma by taking care of babies.
Doesn't she take
animals?
Care of, yeah, the cats.
I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she remembered the cat.
Yeah, she does. Kristen has a 100% perfect memory. I have a 100% imperfect memory. I can't remember anything anymore.
Yeah, but when it comes to where I put something, it's like, forget it.
Yeah, well,
that memory doesn't work so well.
My memory, you have to hit me on the head 10 times now with a big sledgehammer, and then I recall things.
Yeah,
but
you probably remember more from your past lives than you do from, you know, what happened an hour ago.
You know, it's
ago,
getting
huh?
that way. I'm
that
frightening
funny?
Me because I've been lately carrying a sword everywhere. So I'm telling you, I didn't remember that. But you're actually conversing with me, and I'm getting this feeling that you're reducing karma, not just for the sake of reducing karma, because you've evolved enough to understand the dynamics of what your existence should be. So you're fulfilling your obligation to your connection to this earth on a karmic level by helping others, whether they be babies, animals, cats, it doesn't matter. So your guide is giving you a Siskel and Ebert thumbs up, and you know, this is a good movie. Check this one out. And so your performance is adequate to your endeavors.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Yvette, thank you so much for your call.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye. Yeah, I remember there was a cat you connected with in the last reading. I don't remember if you said it was a tabby, but she takes care of cats.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, so we have one more caller, Neil, 718 area code, and she has been waiting patiently. And this is Mindy, is that right?
That's right.
Hi, Mindy. We were conversing
Hi. In
the chat.
Hi.
Or
yes.
Thread. So thank you for being patient. What's your location? No, I don't have any information, but she's new to our show. This, you're a first-time caller, Mindy, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I'm in New York.
New York. Oh, okay. What part of New York?
Staten Island.
Staten Island. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love New York.
Okay.
What's your birthday?
7/24/61.
All righty. And what is your question today?
I had a near-death experience just under 2 years ago.
Okay.
And you're talking about spirit guides. So when I was on the other side, there was a lot of teaching and symbols and messages. But one of the first, very first things I heard, actually, I think it was the very first thing, he knows every hair on your head, Mindy, and every moment matters. Now, since it was said he, and a lot more teachings came after that, was whoever was, I can't say the person, the spirit, the energy, was that my spirit guide? Because it wasn't God. Because he said he knows every hair. Who said that?
Yeah. The he is the personified male image of God. So
right, but who told me that? My spirit guard?
Groucho Marx, no.
Because I didn't see anyone. I only heard. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you didn't see anyone. You only heard because it was in spirit form. And in a near-death experience, when you're in the spirit form, thank God we don't have to wear our bodies or the images of who we were. We're not like, that's the movies. We lose the image of our body. We only materialize from the spirit form into an earthly form again for the sake of human beings. But we don't go up wearing our best clothes and, you know.
No, just energy. I was just energy.
Just energy.
And she's in the astral realm.
She's in the astral realm.
Exactly.
In the astral realm.
So she was under instruction. You were under instruction, and part of it was a mixed bag of information, not misinformation, but information.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was take account for every second of your life, first of all, to make sure that, because everything you do is being watched and recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Mindy's doing in her own personal world that you have pangs of guilt or confusion or frustration over, things that you're doing that you know you probably shouldn't do, whatever it is, from zero to 100.
No, I thought I didn't matter to God. That's what that was answering. Every moment matters, because it's a long story, but that's how I took it. I just wondered,
well,
who
wait,
said that?
Before you go on, you had this before, this thought of not mattering to God before the near-death experience. Is that what you're saying? I wasn't clear.
Yes, yes, because
okay,
I had a very difficult life.
You had a difficult
yeah.
life. Well, 30
yeah.
plus 3.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to have yeah. a difficult life. No,
yeah.
you matter to God. No, well, that's your subjective.
I know
attitude.
That now. He totally healed me when I was over there and gave me a lot of teachings. My
wow.
particular question was,
who was
the
it?
One who said he knows every hair. It's put into my mind, the information. That's my personal spirit guide telling me
yeah,
these things?
Yeah. Now,
okay.
I'm very careful with my answers, because it could have been a counselor up there, a teacher, but that was your personal
oh,
guide.
Okay.
No, that was your personal guide.
Wow.
That was your personal guide. It wasn't a counselor you encountered. It wasn't a teacher. It wasn't just somebody that you happened to come across that gave you some information and then took off. That was your personal guide.
And I felt a male energy.
Well, that doesn't. You felt a male energy because, and I'll tell you why. Because
mm-hmm.
on one of your past lives, the karma you produced in that past life was as a male.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is inside of you, and at that point you had no faith.
Mm-hmm.
You felt you were probably an atheist, and you were just I don't know if you were evil, but you just
no
spirit. You developed nothing.
I was a victim. That was my persona, and my emotions were just fear.
You mean in this incarnation?
Yeah,
right?
Before I went on the other side, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, Neil, you're talking about what happened in her past
yeah.
life to bring her to this point.
She was a perpetrator.
I know what he's saying, but yes, I get it.
You weren't a perpetrator in this life.
No,
I'm not. No, I was the victim. I had to pay that off, the karma,
yeah.
so to speak.
It happens, unfortunately, in the karmic world here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that was. And So you're facing a split energy within yourself, male and female psyche, and you're realizing that in the past life, as a male, you were a perpetrator, you were cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that 3-4 going on.
Mm-hmm.
What's the 4?
That's male energy. That 4 is in your fire number, and your master number is a 3. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
the 7 is comprised by a 3-4. But
yeah,
I only knew about the 3. I don't know. And I'll tell you something else. When I came back, I realized numerology, astrology, that it's all real, that it all has its purpose, it all has its roots, you know, on the other side, of course, and that we just get a little touch of it. It's so much more. I mean, we could study it our whole lifetime and not get it all, although we could study it our whole lifetime and get a lot of it.
You're absolutely right, Mindy. You are right. And in regards to numerology alone, so little has been exposed and written about numerology. But Neil and I are actually writing a book right now as we speak. We've been working on it for over a year, and it's going to be a very revealing book about the secrets of numerology and how they connect to those cosmic codes and, you know, what you experience personally in the astral realm. Because we're very coded. Each one of us has a code. The birth date is a code, and it's going to be very fascinating book. Hopefully.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
You're when you get up there, the language goes to a much higher degree of intensity, and so when you come back down, you formulate it into more of a human concept of what is higher and much more symbolic. So you're understanding that energy, and you're understanding that your spirituality, you see, you're born in the 7th month, and yet your year is 61, which is a broken up 7. So you're understanding that you've come back to repair your spirituality that was once broken. Now you're going to use the third eye, which is the 6th chakra, to do that, and that's what actually transported you to the afterlife in that near-death experience where you obtain knowledge, the one after the six brings you back down to the earth with some form of knowledge intact.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just got the chills, yep.
Yeah.
Well, we're both getting chills, Mindy.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's
no.
Okay. So you're in what you've earned in this lifetime is the ability to go out of your body, receive information, retain it, come back to the earth, and activate it. That's your triad, if you will. That's your arc line of it'll begin and end. And in that realm, the content of you understanding spiritually your purpose and existence, in spite of all the trouble and pain, is going to help formulate you into a higher transcendent being.
Yep. You're right. And then, you know, you get the assignment that you have to teach and help others.
Well, I totally agree with you. You're getting it correct, yes.
Yeah.
And that's it's an assignment. It's a schoolroom assignment, Earth being the classroom. So you're 53 now. You've gone through you're going to go through 18 cycles this July. And 18 is the sacred number of spirituality. So 18 times 3, yeah. When you're 54, you will be given that assignment.
Oh, you know, let me just give you a confirmation and tell you how accurate you are. In July, I plan to put my house up for sale and move to Florida from New York. It's all the beginning of the cycle of teaching, helping, changing. Also, when I was about, I would say 11 years old, now my life was very difficult from birth. I was in an institution for child abuse. I didn't go till I was 12, but before that it was worse. And then it was pretty bad then on. And then I went on to marry an abusive man. Finally ended that. The neighbor kicked in, slashed my tires, shot my dog. He was a crack dealer. Like, it just went on. There never, ever was a break. And I just was the perfect victim. And I always loved God. So I blamed him. I was like, where are you? Because I really didn't have any parents, he was my parent. So I would always go to prayer, and I took every class. I did every religion. It was a lifetime of searching and confusion. How does this work? I'm trying to do all the right things. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, at 11 years old, I had a dream that two rabbis with beards and a hat, I don't know why, were standing in front of me. And they said, now she has the number 18 on her. Now she'll be okay. And I never understood. Nobody ever said that number till you just said it now. And I had to come full circle, go through all of that my whole life to be truly blessed with this near-death experience where I learned what I needed to and I was instantly healed. Because after I heard he knows every hair on your head, Mindy, and every moment matters, immediately the pain of a lifetime drained. And I got filled with that liquid love, which I never had that word in my vocabulary before. So now it's almost 2 years later, and you're saying July, which is exactly when I plan to really jump off the cliff, so to speak, which in a way I don't feel that so much because I have more understanding. And I just wanted to say how accurate. And with the 18, I always wondered, what did that dream mean? And I guess it meant after the 18, like however you just did it in numerology, I can now really start living my purpose. Although the karma was a purpose also that had to be taken care of until I can have this shift. And now it's done. And I guess the past 2 years were kind of, the first year was, well, let's get the first 5-6 months I was floating. Oh, my God. I was healed. I was happy. And God was teaching me a couple of strong lessons there, and I was in a whole nother place. Then you start to a little bit like go, oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm back. Like, I didn't even realize I was back. And then comes everybody, like, leaving you, leaving me anyway, friends and all people, because I'm different. And they can't relate, and I really can't relate anymore. And then came the loneliness and the, all right, God, I got it now. Come on, come on. You know, what do you want to do with me? And that was kind of painful, a lot of sitting around. I gained a little weight. Like, I lost totally my earthly life, but I understood what was happening. Now it's starting to pick up, and lots of changes externally, before it's all internally, which still continues. And I'm seeing it, like the move or new people coming into my life, and very emotional, poignant things, nothing that would have happened normally or before in the past. And this is how it's happening. And I'm loving, you know, what you're saying with the 18. I still don't understand what you exactly told me, but with the 54 and...
Yeah, well, don't worry. It's a sacred number. It's biblically a sacred number. In Judaism, it's a sacred. Christianity, it's a sacred number. It's a sacred number in and of itself. And your master number being 3, 18 times 3 is 54. You're about to enter that. Two rabbis gave you 18 energy. So you needed to go through 18 cycles of your master number in order to achieve the resolution of the karma and to start to teach and promote the attitude of wisdom and guidance. So you're in alignment with the conditions of your karma, the reduction of your karma, and the entrance of your resolution towards karma and your ascendance towards transcendence. So you're in good shape, Mindy, and good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great.
Thank you. All right. And, you know, funny, 718 is her area code, so.
Well, yeah. Well, her month is 7, and the totality of her year comes to an 8.
Right.
Well, we can go on and on, but indeed, 18 is a sacred number, and Mindy helped us to add more information to it.
Yeah, fascinating experience she had.
Yeah.
All right, Neil. Well, we are out of time and out of callers, so I think we'll wrap up for the day, but we thank everybody for their participation, and, of course, we thank Neil for his time. Thanks.
Thank you.
And see everybody on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.